Welcome.
Dan Levitard, if we're really being honest about it, it's just a giant piece of shit.
To the Big Suey.
Bald Eagles.
A podcast exclusive that none of our bosses asked for.
More sports.
More work. Less pay.
I haven't stopped talking in a month. I mean, I don't know what to tell you.
Just when you thought the show couldn't be more diluted. Bam.
Last time I listened to this show.
I haven't listened for years.
Now here's the marching band to nowhere.
Am I missing something? What am I missing?
The end of the story.
Fat face.
Chris Fallick.
It's Felica. He made him a penis.
And the habitual liar.
I didn't ask for any of this.
You asked for all of it.
The Big Suey.
I'm Chris Cody, BSPN.
Billy, what the hell were you talking about with Tony and Chris when we sat down here about robbing people being worse than murdering people?
Like, well,
I'll just warn you, he was 10 minutes in and he is just getting started. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Go ahead, Bill. Pick it up.
The thing is, I don't really know how to have this conversation because it's obviously a very delicate one, you know, robbing versus murder. But it's early. You know, I got up early and this happened earlier today. So this was a very early, you know, 7 o'clock hour conversation that I was having. I was walking my dog Dopey downstairs and I ran into a couple youths and they asked
Wait a minute, your dog is named Dopey? Your dog, you call him Dopey?
Like, I love that.
What is Dopey named after?
Well, I'm assuming one of the seven dwarves, if I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't name my dog Dopey. So my dog was abandoned and already had a name and we rescued my dog. Not rescued, I'm not a hero, but we, you know, adopted the dog and, you know, kept his name. We thought that he knew his name until we took him to puppy classes. Then we learned he did not know his name. So we could have changed it. He wouldn't have known. So, but he stuck with it. Now that's his name.
What do you imagine you would have made it?
Very difficult decision. I'm not one that can easily come up with a name that's going to stick with a creature for, you know, hopefully 15 years. So when I have children, that's going to be a whole thing. What do I name a child who's going to have that name forever? Unless I do a bad job and then they change the name.
We did the same thing. We adopted a dog and the dog's name is Finnegan. We call him Finny, but I desperately wanted to give the dog my own name and I was torn. I didn't want to do. I wanted to call it Gastina. And my wife wanted to keep it Finny. And so we went with Finny because the wife always wins.
This is funny, Billy. And we'll get back to whether it's worse to murder someone or rob them. I don't understand how we got here with these two youths you were talking to. But the reason I asked the question is because for the first time, Valerie's got some lights in her eyes about a dog just last night. And I haven't, you know, had a dog. I've missed my dog terribly. Had him for 20 years. Told you guys the story in an embarrassing, emotional fashion of the dog dying in my arms at an intersection where I was shirtless at 1 o'clock in the morning and someone recognizing me sobbing at my steering wheel but couldn't see the dog, so just thought I really partied on a Tuesday night. I was looking for a hospital or a vet, and my top was down on the convertible. They couldn't see the dog because it was in my arm. It had just died in my arms, and please stop laughing, Chris.
He's talking about his dying dog.
Anyway, so we were talking, and, you know, I like some of the Z's that Valerie came up with. Zeus, Zeppelin, you know,
ooh,
I like some
nice,
of, yeah,
nice.
I like some of those names.
Maybe you use Gastino. I mean,
I will not
think?
Use Gastino, but I was thinking of like all sorts of like weird names, like Giuseppe. I thought would be funny.
Tua.
Hey, get over here, Giuseppe. No, I will not name my dog.
Wow, Tua. That's good. And this is a golden opportunity. Guys, if you're listening right now and you have a suggestion for Dan's dog's name, hashtag Dan's dog, send us your names and maybe Dan will name his dog your name. And if he does, you'll win a special prize. Dan's dog will be named the name you suggest.
That is a good. That is a good contest. How's our giveaway? How's our bobblehead address going? Like, I don't feel like our contest anywhere.
Hey, guys, just given our show's history with naming animals, let's not make this a contest.
Well, it's Dan's dog, and the prize is just Dan's dog has the name you suggested.
Yeah, but what if Dan's dog attacks a burglar, and then it's all in the news, and then all of a sudden you have this name dog, and it just drags like the company's name through the mud. We don't need that.
What did Dan's dog attack? Was it a burglar? Because then it might be justified according to the youths.
All right, well, let's get back to that story. We will name the dog, but why were you... I can't even imagine you talking to youths as you walk around. I don't see you as being that friendly during a pandemic. I imagine you avoiding all people outside.
Oh, yeah. And youths, you know, are spreaders, as we've become well aware. So just as dangerous as adults. But I'm not going to, you know, tell them to go kick rocks and go away if they're coming to say hello. Now, I will, when, you know, people pet my dog, go with a wipe and wipe down my dog as though that's killing the virus or the chances of the virus being on my dog because they've touched God knows what. And then I don't really know how it works still. All right. We're months into this. I don't know if they cough on their hands and then they touch my dog. If I'm going to get sick, if I touch my dog, it's a very confusing situation. We're getting way off track. Listen, this is what was happening. They ask how my dog behaves. Right. Said he's a little bit crazy, but he means well. Mm-hmm. All right.
How do you know that?
Well, he means well. I could see it in his eyes. I can tell that he has, you know, he has a joy about him. He's very loving and cuddly when he wants to be calm and, you know, whatever. He's very cariñoso, as they say. But at times, he's also a bit rambunctious and a rascal. And he runs around barking and, you know, causing a little bit of chaos. So
being dopey.
Yeah, exactly. It's a perfectly fitting name for him. Anyway, so I said he means well. And then they start getting into, well, you know, the law should be based on people's intentions and whatever. And I'm like, this is getting very deep for 7 a.m. and for yous to tell me how the law in the country should work. And I was like, okay, let's see where this goes. And then they're like, for example, if there's a notorious burglar and he steals everything and someone sees that this is a bad notorious burglar and they come and kill him, that person should be based on their intent, not the action. So they killed someone, but they killed a bad person, so it shouldn't be as bad. And I'm like, whoa, hold on a second. Like, are these kids okay with murder? Like, let me just double check with what's going on.
It sounds like those kids are okay with marijuana is what it sounds like.
I think they were too young for that. But and it's 7 a.m. They were youths again. So I ask them, I go, well, hold on a second. Which is worse, robbery or murder?
Did you say it like that?
Yeah, I said it like that because I wanted to make sure that I'm understanding the vibes these kids are giving out. And in unison, they said robbery. And I go, wait, what? And then they started talking about how robbing people is so much worse because you're taking things. And then they were like making some sort of, listen, I'm no lawyer, I guess these kids are. They started telling me basically like robbery versus this involves a gun and that's why it's worse and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, if you murder someone, there's a chance that that involves a gun too. But I guess they don't think that that's a big deal. Anyways, so then I throw a hypothetical out to them and I go, well, hold on a second. Because if you murdered someone, then you're a murderer. That's actually how I got to the question. I go, so if you murder the robber, then you're a murderer. Isn't that worse? And they both said, no, robbing is worse. And I said, well, what if someone comes and murders the murderer? Because they're a bad person because they murdered someone. And they said, no, that's different because of the intent.
Chris,
he murdered someone who robbed someone. That's different.
What are you laughing about, Chris?
I'm just happy.
Well, don't be. There could be murderers running around in this. I don't know what they're teaching kids at schools these days that they think that murdering someone's fine. And then I'm like, well, how is it that robbery is worse than murder? And they explain it to me. They go, well, when you rob someone, they go, it depends on the age. If you rob or murder a kid, that's a lot worse than if you do it to an old person. Like if you murder an old person, that's not as bad as if you rob an old person because the old person has probably been saving whatever you rob from them for a really long time. And I kind of at this point, I'm like, I can't continue this because I don't know what's going on. I don't know what path we're headed down.
I can't believe you're having the conversation.
I can't continue this because I'm coming close to being an accomplice. It sounds
like. Well, that's the thing. I need to kind of distance myself because I don't want to say the wrong thing and have them, you know, as some alibi. Like, well, Billy, who was walking his dog, told me it's okay to murder people if they're there. And it's like, no. Let me just, by the way, let me get on record right now. Murdering people is wrong. Okay, everybody listening, don't do it. Don't murder people. Also, don't rob people, but in my estimation, a little less serious than murdering them. But don't do either, all right? Age doesn't matter. Don't murder or rob anyone, please.
Can I present a scenario to you where maybe robbing someone is worse than murder? A scenario, Bill, okay? What if you rob?
I've heard a couple today.
What if you rob an old couple, right? Down on their luck, have nothing left, but still going to live like a decade, right? You rob their apartment, or you murder a really bad person, like someone who has done something really bad.
Isn't that the argument they were
you
making?
You sound like these kids.
I think I agree with them. I do. I mean, Bill, it does make sense, does it not?
Well, if you murder someone, then you murdered someone. You killed someone.
Yes, but you murdered a bad someone, Bill. Stugatz, as opposed
but that
to
makes
robbing.
You a bad someone, no, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. Technically, does it? I'm not certain. Stugatz, it's debatable.
Here is, this is like a famous, this is a famous philosophy experiment, like the trolley problem in terms of
one of my favorites, yes.
Killing one person with a runaway trolley versus killing five based on a decision that you make and making the judgment on innocence. You can have all of your sarcasm here making fun of me, but I am simply not good with you being the person who decides who's good and bad and worthy of murder. I'm not good with Stugatz being the judge on who is deemed bad, because I doubt anyone would be deemed bad except people who took money from him.
Well, that's where I wanted to get with these children. Like, who is it up to judge someone's character, whether they're good or bad, and who justifies murder? But I didn't want to continue down this path because I don't want to be steering them. I don't know who steered them in this direction in the past. I don't want to steer them in the wrong direction. At that point, I'm like, Dobie, please don't bite these kids, because I don't want them to come and murder me thinking that you're a bad dog and it's justified.
Billy, how do we arrive in a place where Stugatz is siding with the youths and then proclaiming himself some sort of minister or commissioner of morality? How do we arrive in a place where he's a Supreme Court justice of dictating who deserves to be murdered or not, to make it less bad or, yeah, less bad or no, worse than a robbery?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going on this morning. I'm learning that a lot of people are cool with murder and anti-robbery.
Well, let me ask you this, Bill. If someone was to murder a drug lord, okay, murder them, and someone was to rob a stationery store, okay? Like a station, you know.
Yeah, yeah. What's a few papers? You're just ripping off
a couple of Hallmark cards, a couple of pieces of candy. Yes.
You'd be the softest burglar in the history of robberies. The guy who knocks over the Kinko's and only takes staples and paper. But okay. The burglar. We'll call him the Office Depot burglar. Go ahead, continue.
And then you have someone. So you have burglary, which is bad. We agree with that, right? But then you have someone who murders just an innocent person. Like, for me, the murderer in that spot is probably doing something not nearly as worse as the people who are robbing.
Nearly as bad, and you just killed an innocent person.
No, I killed a drug lord on the front end.
You just said an innocent person.
There was also a drug lord involved and candy at a stationery store.
The drug lord's
really
innocent until proven guilty. That's all I'm saying. So, right, but the drug lord is innocent until proven guilty. What I'm saying is you murder a drug lord or you rob a stationery store, which is worse. Yeah. Which is worse? Well,
your argument is that it's worse to rob candy
Why
from a stationery store.
Why couldn't you have said that in like 10 words as opposed to the way you did it?
Because I'm talking to Billy, and that's how, Billy talks.
Yeah, no, it's better. More is better with me. But I don't understand. Your argument is that it's worse to rob candy from a stationery store than
I'm saying the act of murder is worse. There's no debating that. But it depends. It kind of depends on who you murder.
That's what the kids are saying, and
I'm trying to tell you, I agree with these damn kids. That's all I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to make arguments for the kids.
Trying to make arguments on behalf of murder, Stugatz.
Well, on behalf of the kids. I mean,
yeah, okay.
I'm doing it for them.
You're doing it for the children. Yes. Okay, America's youth. How old were these kids, Billy?
I don't know exactly. I'd put them in the. Man, it's because growth spurts. Kids grow at different times.
How can you not answer this question quickly?
10 to 14.
Thank you. Fine. Yes, God almighty.
You see what happens?
Some people, Dan, have late growth spurts. Me, for example, I didn't grow until my junior year in high school. So like my first license said I was 5'3", and I was walking around until I was nearly 25 years old with a license that said I was 5'3".
Are the rest of you as curious as I am about the idiosyncrasies of a character I'm going to call Pandemic Billy, the guy who puts hand sanitizer on his dog after someone has pet him? Like, I really want to know, Billy. I want to hear, because you're a creature that always has some fear in his wake and some fear in front of him and is some fear consuming him. Can you give us even examples of you looking in a mirror on something you're doing, like putting hand sanitizer on a dog after someone has pet him, and said, I'm being ridiculous here, or I'm being too extreme?
Too ridiculous, too extreme? No. I mean, I have indoor clothes and outdoor clothes. Do you guys have that or no? Like when I come inside, I'll change my clothes from what I was wearing when I was outside. I won't touch handles when I'm going to let out Dopey. I'll go inside my shirt.
I do.
I have to go inside and touch it with the outside because I scratch my face with the inside of my shirt if I have to scratch. But now I'm thinking my shirts aren't that thick, so I don't know if that's really doing anything. So I may have to reevaluate that.
I can't imagine you at a gas pump right now. You must be touching nothing.
Oh, my friend. If you think I'm not taking surgical gloves to pump gas, you are mistaken.
I will tell you at the beginning of this, this is a true story because I was so careful and not knowing anything that I was doing that I had one of those hand baskets at Fresh Market in my hand and I'm wearing a glove and everything, but I went to sort of scratch my face with my forearm. And touching my lip, okay? Was the handle of the Fresh Market basket, and I immediately went to where there was hand sanitizer and just rubbed it on my lip.
Yes, you have to. That's normal, yeah.
I got indoor-outdoor clothes, though, Bill. That's a smart play. It's a heady play.
Really?
Yeah, you got to do it. Yeah, the second
I don't believe that. You're full of it.
I totally lied.
I just did the upset bird instead of a bunch of chicken.
You know, the problem with indoor outdoor clothes is that I will like be like, well, I was only outside for 2 minutes. So am I going to wear different outdoor clothes tomorrow? So I could be wearing the same outdoor clothes for like 5 straight days. So the people that live around me must think like this guy doesn't shower. This guy doesn't bathe. He doesn't do anything.
So where do you put you put your outdoor clothes in your hamper? I feel like we're defeating the purpose here.
No, on the floor. They're on the floor in the corner. They're next to like the dresser.
But then you put them back on?
Well, sometimes, yeah, I'll put the outdoor clothes to go back outdoors. I'm not going to put, come on, Dan, let's not be ridiculous. I'm not going to wear 13 different outdoor clothes in one day. Sometimes my outdoor clothes will last a day or two. Also, sometimes my outdoor clothes will be my previous day's indoor clothes.
Same, yeah.
So what I'm wearing right now, you may see me walking the streets with Dopey in tomorrow.
Yes, it is ridiculous. But what I'm not understanding is I thought there was indoor clothes and outdoor clothes because you were afraid that the airborne virus might stick to your outdoor clothes and then you wanted to get it off of you. So I don't see the point of putting that on again the next day, like rubbing it against your face as you put your shirt back on if you think your outdoor clothes is infected and would test positive.
Listen, Dan, this is, you know, a virus we're all learning about day by day, okay? There's no perfect answer as to how to wear indoor clothes and outdoor clothes. I'll take my clothes off. I'll put them in the corner. They're inside out because I take it off, inside out. I put it back on, outside in, I guess. And then it comes back on normal. And then I walk around and I do my things. What I don't want to do is I don't want to, if I get it on me because of however it is that it gets on me, I put it on my couch or I put it on my cómoda. I don't want any of that stuff. I don't want to lay down and have my blanket over me and have it be infected with the outdoor clothes. I can't be alone on this.
I'm picturing Billy walking in his front door and then 10 seconds later being completely nude standing on the other side of his front door.
Nude and scared, naked and afraid.
You know the problem, though, and this is my wife's not here right now. She's at work. But there's been times that my outdoor clothes have been in over where my outdoor clothes are inside. And then she'll put them to wash. And it's like, I only use those outdoor clothes twice. They're not dirty yet. I need to save those. We're not going to keep washing the outdoor clothes.
If she's not there, why does it seem like you're whispering?
He does that. Leaning into the camera and whispering because he's afraid of his wife. Like he's afraid
crazy,
of everything else. Well, please, at Lebatard Show, put these on the poll for us. At Lebatard Show, one, during the pandemic, do you have indoor clothes and outdoor clothes that you change because your outdoor clothes has been infected, possibly? And two, what's stranger, to have indoor-outdoor clothes during a pandemic or to put hand sanitizer on your dog after someone has pet your dog? What are you shaking your finger? No.
Not hand. No, no. No, it's a wipe. It's a wipe, and I wipe them down. I give them a nice little bath, kind of. Sometimes I do two wipes. That's the treat because I'm going on both sides at the same time of him. He's getting a little rubs, and he's also getting clean because I'm going deep with my fingernails into his fur. Little Dobie's like, nice and clean. He thinks I'm being nice, but I'm not. I'm trying to protect myself because he is a little bit of a pet whore, and he'll go around looking for pets anywhere he can get them.
Holy shit, you are nuts.
A whore.
Billy, it's a great time to avoid dog socializing. I'm surprised you even go there. Like, you have built-in excuses, you know?
These kids just walk up and they start petting and saying hello, and it's like,
tell them to get away. I mean, enough.
I thought we learned about this virus that it's not, like, as contact-driven. It's more airborne.
We have. And what I am telling you is you can use it as an excuse to get out of any conversation. That's it. Anything. Anything. Pandemic. Bye. See ya.
Like, I thought the whole changing clothes thing stopped when we stopped washing our groceries.
When this thing first started.
You stopped washing your groceries?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I stopped trying a while ago. Enough is enough.
When this thing started, if someone was walking, even with mask, I would like move 7 feet in the opposite direction. I'd be walking over hills of mulch and through bushes to avoid people walking next to me.
I still hold my breath if I walk by anybody.
I do that. I do that like joggers, because you get a bunch of joggers huffing and puffing past you.
Yeah, it doesn't help. I mean,
it doesn't help.
I mean, holding your breath, it go up your nose. I mean, nothing. Are you holding your nose?
Yes,
too?
You're holding your breath. If you're holding, how do you hold your breath without stopping the intake of what's coming through your nose?
Listen, Dr. Stu here.
I'm not going by joggers, holding my nose, holding my breath, not breathing, 90 degrees out, not happening. I mean, if it happens,
maybe you don't want, but for you to just say that you know for a fact it doesn't work is like, what are you talking about?
I got a negative COVID test yesterday. Anyone else? I mean, I got a negative test yesterday. Yeah, Ted. Yeah. Let Amici explain that one. I have a negative COVID test, and I got it yesterday. So if anyone has COVID around here, not my fault. That's all.
Don't you have to do another one, though, because of the incubation period? Don't you have to do like a...
A little whiteout, change the dates. You know.
You went to a lacrosse tournament where? Like, how much of a hot zone was... Mike, can you tell me about the machinations that happened to get Stugatz to whatever law? I got a text from Stugatz this weekend out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Levitz, I can coach.
I mean, listen, 7 of the top 10 22 teams in the country went to this tournament. 2 left the tournament undefeated. We were one of them. And so I texted Dan, hey, I still got it. I can coach.
Congratulations.
I'm like Tomlin. Yeah.
It still feels so irresponsible that these tournaments are going on. Yeah. I mean, these are children.
Yeah, we're wearing masks. Yeah.
Yeah, but you're walking past joggers saying, I'm not going to hold my breath. Don't take away my freedoms. And you're telling me, what do you do? Hold your nose?
I mean, is it on me to wear a mask? The jogger should be wearing a mask, right?
It's on everyone, Stugatz. No, but this is your deal. Let someone else handle it. It's like stupidity. Let someone else do the work.
Well, you wouldn't have to hold your breath if you yourself were wearing a mask. So be critical of yourself.
Oh, no, I do it anyway. I do it anyway.
Really?
Yes.
Double protection.
If someone comes huffing and puffing past me with their mouth open, yes.
You should always exercise extreme caution. But I believe you need extended exposure more than just a runner running past you. I think the latest study that I saw is 6 minutes. But it's amazing how much what we were told at the beginning of this pandemic and what we're being told now has changed.
Well, let me understand some of this stuff, because Chris said something at the beginning of this about washing his groceries, and now he has stopped like sort of washing the bags or scrubbing down the bags. And a lot of people have gotten... less careful. I've gone the other way. I have, as this thing has escalated and the seriousness of it has dawned on me, and because I'm not exactly 75 years old, but I'm heavy, and if you heard Chappelle on Saturday Night Live, he was saying that the coronavirus was, just sort of rubbing its hands together when it saw Chris Christie because of where and how it attacks. But I've gotten a great deal more careful. Like when I go up and down on an elevator, I won't allow anybody on that elevator with me, whether they're wearing masks or not. I will say,
what are you just like? You're just like, nope.
Yes,
you're not
please,
coming right now.
Please respect this. I don't want to be on an escalator. I don't want to be on an elevator with anybody.
Has anyone been insulted by that? Gotten upset with you? Or
there was actually somebody the other day, and this is so very Miami. This is exactly how it happened, and I've got to stop doing things like this. In my building, the doors open on a floor before I've reached the ground floor, and there are 2 people with a lot of camera equipment and a woman who is dressed very erotically to suggest that somewhere in my building they were filming a porn. That's the conclusion that I jumped to. And it's the only time it's happened throughout the pandemic where I'm in the on the elevator by myself, and I'm behind the mask saying, please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm just going down two floors. I don't want to share an elevator with anybody during the pandemic. And one of the camera people barks at me saying, get your own elevator. And I put my foot in the door like as soon as it was closing. And I'm like, you're not wearing a mask. I'm not going to let you on this elevator with me when you're up there shooting a damn porn. Like, I don't know what I can get from you. The coronavirus is the least of my concerns. Like, I could get some sort of disease or lose some morality just being around you.
Also, you could have big-timed him and said, I do.
Well, that's the thing. It usually is a private elevator, and I was furious that it opened on a floor I wasn't expecting. Like, I am so rarely on an elevator with anybody.
Did you complain to anyone?
I called the manager. What the hell is an elevator doing as opening anywhere other than in my private area? I didn't even, for a while there during the pandemic, it was so glorious, Stugatz, so glorious. The beach, totally empty. And the building has, I don't know how much this Airbnb thing must be suffering now or how it works.
How is he, old girl? Yeah. I miss that old battleship.
By the way, you're sounding more and more relatable by the second. I mean,
well, you guys mentioned the elevator. I was trying to conceal that. You didn't help me in any way. Like, as you're always there for me in that regard. Like, I was trying very hard to sort of mask that, and I didn't succeed because, as always, my teammates.
Has anyone ever gotten off on the wrong floor? Because the way the elevator works in your building is, you're like the one stop on that floor. Has anyone gotten out and been like, whoops, wrong one?
Yeah, it happens. They end up in the foyer. The problem is that there's another penthouse and they rent it out and it's always these giant bachelor parties. And so what ends up happening, it's not an elevator with one person. It's a bachelorette party of 12 people in an elevator.
And they unload in your apartment?
No, they don't unload in the apartments. Yes, it's on my bed in the bedroom.
Phrasing.
in the foyer. They unload in the foyer.
Yeah.
The hell's a foyer?
It's a room before you actually get into the room. It's like a waiting room to get into this amazing condo.
Room needs to get over itself.
Brian Foyer.
But now I'm picturing it with like 12 guys that are just in South Beach for a bachelor party from the Midwest.
They tear up the apartment above. They're always up at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's always very loud. And occasionally the elevator doors swing open. And this has happened to me at the Clevelander as well, unfortunately, in a shared bathroom space where the elevator opens. And I'm like, whatever. I'm wearing shorts and I'm shirtless and flip-flops because I'm just headed someplace nearby. And there it is. The doors open. And, hey, Dan Le Batard, how weird must that be for somebody to recognize me in that situation just standing in my foyer shirtless?
Testament to you, though, because it's not even like, the guy from TV. It's just Dan Le Batard. It's brand recognition.
Well, no, it's often also just the guy from TV.
Mariotti.
Yes, Golic. I've gotten Golic. I've gotten Mariotti. I think those are the only two. Yes.
Is that Trevor Maddich?
Stugatz, that's a good one. Stugatz, do you get much of that? Do you get the guy from TV? They generally know who you are, right?
I don't really get the guy from TV. I get Stugatz, like just randomly walking through, and sometimes they'll come up to me, and lately not so much. They'll just yell it from across the hallway. But yeah, I get it a lot.
But it's never not knowing you? Like just knowing that they're familiar with you, that must happen to you guys too, where people like see you and they don't know where they know you from, or they recognize you, but, aren't sure how to place you.
I guess I get that occasionally.
If it happens to me, how could it not be happening to you guys?
Well, I feel like it happens to you because you're seen on a lot of muted TVs and bars. Like, I feel like people either know who we are or they have no clue who we are. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like our faces aren't that recognizable unless you, like, know this show well.
I don't get a lot of where do I know you from, because to kind of recognize me, kind of have to be, like, a diehard of what we do. So people are pretty certain when they see members of the Shipping Container. With you, since you were on ESPN1 and had a wildly popular cable TV show that was outside of this, I'm sure you get more of like, I know you from somewhere. You're
right. ESPN,
guy.
Right? ESPN guy.
Well, that's
ESPN.
I get that a lot. Yeah, I get
art
that
of conversation. One. Art of conversation.
Yep. I've never gotten that one.
Great run on Ballers.
Yes, Ballers as well. Yeah. Any more elevator jokes you want to make, or you just now want to go through the IMDb and make fun of that? Like, what else can I give you?
I do have another elevator joke.
How about some fat jokes? You got any of those?
That's where I was going. All right, good. Next time when someone wants to get in the elevator, just say it's a maximum load of 2,500 pounds.
I think that should be the new name to the show, Maximum Load. Unload somewhere else, my friend. This is Maximum Load right here.
Just grab a turkey leg and say, we're at capacity.
Did you guys hear the story that David Sampson told Mike Ryan on the local hour today? There's a lot of good stuff in there on the local hour, and we spent about 10 minutes on David Sampson trying hard not to shit on his shoes. But at the very end, and I don't know if you've heard this, but we've been doing some different stuff with the local hour and the Big Suey. And consistently through the pandemic, Mike Ryan has come to realize that David Sampson is a content goldmine. Our relationship with him over the years has been something that has been uneasy for you guys because you think about us and me as the Miami people. And he's a guy who was pretty unpopular in Miami while, you know, in the eyes of many of you, taking advantage of the city and making a lot of money.
Is pretty unpopular. Some of that is maybe dissipated.
Well, I just think he's not unpopular with the people outside of Miami necessarily who only know him through access to us. Like, Right. Yes, in Miami, he's incredibly unpopular.
There are still some people that love our show and just flatly will not support David Sampson.
Of course.
And understood why that is, but so that you understand, the reason that he rides with us is because we have a lot of different personalities, or we've had over the years, personalities from different systems. You know, the player, the coach, the president of the team.
But I think you and I have always agreed that David Sampson produces great content.
Well, that's what it is. And so this Jamie Foxx story, Mike, you want to tell it to the group? Because it doesn't look like anybody here has heard the David Sampson-Jamie Foxx story, which just sort of tumbled out at the end and involves Jamie Foxx and Benicio Del Toro and Jamie Foxx trying to attack David Sampson.
Well, there's a story. So they're in a casino, and I immediately thought, oh, this had to be fish and chips. No, it was in Las Vegas. So David Sampson's there with a couple of friends, and those friends have mutual friends, and those mutual friends are Benicio Del Toro and Jamie Foxx, who come over to the table. Now, there were some accusations levied by David Sampson about the condition of Jamie Foxx that I'm not comfortable repeating. But Jamie Foxx ends up being introduced to David Sampson, and he's introduced as a Marlins team president. And Jamie Foxx, who's apparently a Cleveland Indians fan or something, according to David Sampson, gets super fired up at David Sampson. You're the worst. I hate your franchise. Really passionate baseball fan. Who knew this? Out of Jamie Foxx.
And anti-Marlins.
Yeah, very, very anti-Marlins and is close to attacking David Sampson. So on the local hour, David talks about what that altercation was like and then the fallout because handlers around Jamie Foxx realized that this was a very bad look for Jamie Foxx while Benicio Del Toro was just muttering, smoking, and just like doing Benicio Del Toro things.
I love that part of the story. Like, imagine the character in Usual Suspects, and to my delight, by the way.
Imagine any Benicio Del Toro character.
Well, but the one on Usual Suspects, though, is one you could barely understand.
But it seems like it's not a character.
You know,
it doesn't seem like he's got a whole lot of range. But Sicario was a lot easier to understand than the character in Usual Suspects. But I was delighted this morning. I have, I'm ashamed to admit this, but I have rarely found my wife more erotic than this morning when I learned that she does a limited fake Benicio Del Toro in Usual Suspects, and it was spot on.
That's like, a random grab.
Wow.
And I can't really picture it coming from Valerie.
I know, right? Yeah. I couldn't either. That's one of the things that aroused me.
Congratulations.
You're attracted to Del Toro.
Or just her being able to comedically grab the words that she grabbed, funny that I could barely understand because it was her as Benicio Del Toro. I'm sorry, continue.
Well, if you want to find out what the fallout was and how Jamie Foxx went about apologizing to David Sampson, make sure to check out the local hour today. Don't want to give the game away because there was some really good stuff in there. Also, as Ian mentioned, we talk about how many times David Sampson shits in public.
leave it right.
Has to
there.
Be very few, right?
Just leave.
Yeah,
no, very no it's a surprising no, amount no, because no. He runs a lot.
It's all the time.
Yeah, I actually think Billy, you would get a unique enjoyment out of this because he is very particular about how he goes about shitting in public.
What does he wipe with?
Wait, in public? Like I thought, I was thinking public restrooms. You're just saying like behind a tree or something.
Well, he's a long distance runner, right?
He's like a Charmin bear.
He does the. I told him you got to take some baby wipes. He's like, no, runners like to carry as little things as possible, so I can't be carrying baby wipes. I'm like, I really don't see this as an intrusive sort of deal, considering he says he has stomach issues and this is a problem that he runs into regularly. So baby wipes might be a sound investment. I also told him to spray a bottle of Perrier up his ass.
You wipe with leaves, I guess.
He does.
Don't give away the game, man. Don't give away the whole thing. We want people to listen to the local hour.
I mean, you didn't really have me with the Jamie Foxx story, but I'm tuning in for this shit story.
We spent 10 minutes on the shit stories. 10 minutes. Like, there were so many follow-up questions that we were asking. And, I don't want to give away the game, but there was a red ant attack on his bare ass, and that's all I'm saying. I'm leaving it right there. That's all I've got for you.
Rant.